97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy you're with us here on a Thursday morning. We got lots of sound from that town hall meeting last night with President Trump. And, of course, you could have a lot of sound from Kamala Harris this morning, but she didn't show up to what was supposed to be a debate. Are you starting to see a trend developing here? That's very possible. Skipping of all of these opportunities to talk to the American people. The only thing you could, the only reason you would do that is if you're hiding something. You're not getting that out of J.D. Vance or Donald Trump right now, for sure. So we're going to get to we're going to get back to more on that for you coming up here in a minute. Bottom of the hour, we'll talk to Tom Ackerman, maybe talk a little football. Chiefs, I think, are going to be playing tonight.
Yep.
There's a game in Brazil, I think, coming up. Of course,
tomorrow.
So we'll get to Tom Ackerman on that and Mizzou football and all that good stuff at about 6:35. But right now I want to focus on what happened yesterday in Georgia. Carl, go to cut 16, please.
There are four individuals who are deceased from this incident, nine that have been taken to local hospitals with various injuries. Of those that were are deceased, two are students and two are teachers here at the school. The priority right now for us within this investigation is to gather all the facts, to make sure that we're accurate with it, because this is a murder investigation.
Yeah, that's down in Barrow County, Georgia, just north of Atlanta. I want to get to Catherine Smith-Torres. She's was a police officer for more than 20 years, used to be a school resource officer, and get her thoughts on this. Catherine, welcome in.
Good morning.
So, you know, I'm watching what's happened down there. My initial takeaway was, obviously, it's a tragic situation. Thank goodness there was an armed school resource officer on site.
Yes. And it was quite surprising that when the student encountered the school resource officer, he surrendered, because that's not a norm.
Right.
So hats off to that school resource officer. And, you know, a lot of it has to do sometimes with the prior engagements with that school resource officer. Maybe the student had some respect for him. We don't know why he chose to surrender at that point, but thankfully he did.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, I'm watching this story unfold yesterday. It took about, I don't know, less than 30 minutes for the White House and then the Democratic presidential nominee, Kamala Harris, to come out and blame the gun and gun violence. But then we find out the rest of the story, that this kid was 14 years old. It's already against the law for him to have a gun. Murder's already illegal. More laws wouldn't have changed anything, but they knew about this kid back in 2023. The FBI had interviewed him because he made an online threat to shoot up a school.
Yes. And when they talked to him, and his father, the kid said that it wasn't true. He denied it. And he had no intent to go. He denied that he had any intent. A lot of kids will say, well, they're just joking around, trying to be funny. But, of course, these threats aren't funny. Even if the kid is joking, it's not funny. The parent knew about the threat. And my concern is, how did he get an AR-style rifle into the school? And why was there an AR-style rifle available, not locked down in his home? His father said last year when the sheriff's office went out and talked to him that he didn't have any unsupervised access to the guns. Well, he obviously had access this time. And if the parent knew that he already had this threat that was perceived by law enforcement and FBI previously, then he should have even more locked that gun down. And even though I'm a person who believes wholeheartedly that people who are good citizens of the U.S. have every right to bear arms, I just don't know that we need ARs.
Really?
I mean,
it's a modern sporting rifle.
Yes, for sporting, then keep it locked so that it is not available to the rest of the family members.
Well, no, I agree with that. I think that's a personal responsibility issue on the part of this parent.
What do you think could happen to these parents? Or maybe I should ask the question, what do you think should happen? Because remember, earlier this year, we had two parents who were charged and later convicted because their child opened fire and the child had access to their gun.
Absolutely. You don't want to have to charge parents who, you know, didn't feel like they were responsible, but they are when they're irresponsible for maintaining security for their weapons at home and their ammunition.
So would you charge these parents, you think, if it were up to you?
If I knew that that weapon was theirs and it was not locked down, then absolutely I would.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to take something like that to get people to wake up, because in far too many of these situations, what happened in Parkland and a few others, access to the weapon with advance warning should have been set off alarm bells for a lot of people, and it didn't. And the kid ended up taking the gun and killing people.
But I think what we need to be looking at now is the psyche of kids who have constant access to violence in their video games. Their parents don't spend time with them, you know, being a parent and doing things. They let them just be in front of a video game because they don't bother them. And they sit and play shooting games. I mean, kids nowadays and adults nowadays don't have a second thought for ending someone's life because they see it regularly on these video games. I'm sorry. I don't believe that any child should have access to games that have all this kind of violence in them.
Well,
I
mean,
I
think that's part of the conversation. The mental health aspect of it has to be part of the conversation. Maybe this kid, if somebody ever expresses a violent act toward a school or anybody, they've got to be watched more closely. Yeah. I don't understand how this kid completely slipped through the radar.
Fewer kids would make these jokes if they knew there were more serious consequences to it. You know, you have to make the consequence high enough where they're scared to do it. And we need to arm people at schools. I mean, just like you said, the fact that this kid quickly surrendered after running into an armed school resource officer, what does that tell you? These schools are soft targets, and these kids who have the shooters, they know it.
Yeah. Catherine, we appreciate your time today. Thank you. I don't know if I lost Catherine there or what. Maybe her phone had cut off. But, yeah, I'm surprised to hear her raise the concern about the AR. That's why I jumped in there. Again, it's an inanimate object. There are plenty of guns out there with the kind of magazine capacity that you have in an AR. But for some reason, the AR platform has become the dirty bird of the gun industry. I don't get that. The Ruger Mini 14, there are many handguns that have 16, 17 rounds in them. If somebody is intent on killing people, there are plenty of ways for them to do that. And, you know, years ago, and I've been at this for a long time, years ago, I pointed out the problem we had with Grand Theft Auto and some of these other video games, where I remember how controversial it was at the time when the video game would allow you to shoot at police officers. And I'm raising hell about this, saying, how can we allow this to happen? You're desensitizing kids to violence against police officers. Why is this a thing in America? Why would you let your kid play that game? We wouldn't let our kid have Grand Theft Auto for that reason.
Violence toward anybody. I mean, I do agree that kids have been very desensitized, and it's not just the video games.
I would agree.
It's all social media. It's
Call of Duty.
All of these things
are bloody and graphic, and, you know, I don't know if that's made a difference or not. I know these things weren't happening when I was growing up, when you could pull up at school with a rifle in the gun rack in the back of your pickup truck, because I grew up in a rural area. You could do that, and nobody called the police on you. The gun never left the car. It never shot anybody. You needed it because when you got back to the farm that afternoon, if you saw you know, a coyote or something like that. You needed access to it. Mm-hmm. It was just never an issue. And now suddenly it is. I mean, the last 25 years, it's become a tragic situation.
I think parents need to face harsher consequences if they're giving their kids access to these guns. I mean, we saw the situation, 2 days ago in St. Louis City. A four-year-old girl was accidentally shot and killed by her sibling.
And the mom
was gone at the time.
And the response was, we need more gun locks. Well, no, that's a personal responsibility issue on the part of the mother.
Yes, she clearly needed a gun lock. She needed that, and more people probably do because too many parents are giving access to these guns to their kids.
She didn't need a gun lock. She needed some common sense. You don't leave a loaded gun where children can get access to it.
She needed some way of securing it.
Thank you. Leave it if you got to leave it there for some reason, and you don't have a gun lock. Unload it.
Right.
It just common sense is gone in this country for sure. All right, coming up, we'll talk more about this situation in Minnesota where Tim Walz's family have come out and supported Donald Trump. Shockingly, the video, the pictures are hilarious. We'll be back in just a minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Oh, great, Odin's Raven.
All right, I've got a correction to make. On reading the debate rules a bit earlier, there was a word left out. A very important word left out in the list of debate rules that I was reading to you. About the audience for the debate, there will not be an audience in the room. Whoever printed this, whoever wrote down these rules, had this sentence in there. There will be audience in the room. So clearly the word no got left out of that sentence somehow. And I apologize for that because I went back and double checked it. We noticed that Fox was reporting there would not be an audience. And I'm like, well, that's not what my story here says. But I went to the ABC website and ABC says there will be no audience in the room. You know, they'd gone away from the Presidential Debate Commission. Both parties kind of abandoned that, which has kind of been a standard over the past few years. And they're the ones that required an audience in the room. But both candidates in this case, both parties, don't like that idea. They don't like the boos and the clapping and the reaction of the audience, clearly. So when they went off and scheduled their own debates, they did without that. I don't know that I like that idea.
I mean, I know Trump wanted the live audience. He feeds off that energy. But you brought up the question earlier, what's the process like when determining who gets to be in the room? I mean, is it going to be heavily stacked in favor of Kamala Harris? And if that is the case, because ABC is moderating this debate, well,
maybe
that would not bode well for Trump. So this is going to be interesting. I mean, Trump did well not having an audience with Biden. And I know Biden barely was able to stand up for the entire 90-minute debate.
He did well.
So that also helped Trump.
With the mic clip.
It's funny because I was against the mic clip in the beginning. And then once I saw it play out, I'm like, yeah,
that was a good thing.
It forced Trump to be reserved because I think what a lot of people don't like about Trump is that sometimes he just goes on and on and on and on. He keeps going on. It's like, just make a concise point. Talk about your policy and move on.
He's a loud New Yorker sometimes. I don't know. How do you feel about those debate rules? Do you like them or not? You can always leave us a message there on the Facebook, Odyssey app. If you're listening on the app, or you don't have to be listening on the app, go to the app there on Odyssey. Look for the 97.1 logo where it says take live at the bottom of it, live, or it says there's a little microphone right next to it. If you click on the microphone, it'll do a countdown, 3, 2, 1, and then you can record up to a 60-second message. And then you get to approve it before you send it. So if you don't like it, you can erase it and start over. But if you got a comment on the debate, the rules, what you're expecting from Tuesday, maybe you're a DirecTV customer and you're just bitter this morning that you might not get to watch it because you missed your chance to come to the debate party, nothing I can do about that. But you can leave us a message about that if you'd like to, and we'll play those back on the air this morning or whatever's on your mind. I just thought the debate question was a good one because people are pretty fired up and looking forward to that right now, I think. It's like rubbernecking at a car accident. You can't not watch. You got to watch, see what happens. I love the Walls for Trump. Waltzes for Trump. I think I mispronounced that. Tim Walz's family has snubbed Harris Waltz. This is the Nebraska branch of the family. This must be the ne'er-do-wells that he left behind back in Nebraska, the MAGA crowd that he got away from in Nebraska. The family of Tim Walz are all wearing Waltz for Trump T-shirts in this photo they released, and there are, let's see, 8 people in the photo with Waltz for Trump T-shirts on. I love that. That's pretty funny.
I'm sorry, I'm fixating on Waltz versus Walls.
Waltzes. W-A-L-Z, so it's not W-A-L-T-Z, it's W-A-L-Z, Waltzes. The Waltzes family. That's right.
Well, the Waltzes, like Trump, I saw something on the Babylon Bee that says Tim Walz's dog endorses Donald Trump. The dog had on a MAGA hat with the Donald Trump 2024 T-shirt.
The photo appears to be legit. It's been verified as legit. Well, that's embarrassing, isn't it? Some of them said, I haven't spoken to him in 8 years. I oppose all of his ideology.
Yikes.
There you go. All right, coming up, Tom Ackerman in studio. We'll talk more about Mizzou's football team.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's. Reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, Tom Ackerman in studio with us. I have to tell you, one of the news stories that caught my attention this morning was what Kim reported on the Dome. And yep. I've griped repeatedly about that AstroTurf over there and how awful it looked. And it was faded, and you finally get, Mizzou comes in here and plays, and the Battle Hawks are playing again, and we're on national television, and that AstroTurf looked terrible. And finally, they got around to replacing it. I imagine it's not cheap to do, but boy, that was long overdue.
I think it's like $1 million.
I'm sure.
Yeah, to put it in. Yeah, the first time that it got the exposure was actually the Mizzou Memphis game. Remember that game in the Dome last year? And that everybody was like, man, this looks terrible. It looks awful on TV. Just awful. I was at the game, and it didn't look as bad in person as it did on TV. TV looked really bad. But, you want to be. You want to attract big events to the Dome. The Dome, that's just the beginning. The Dome needs a lot of improvements. Mm-hmm. But you want to attract big events. We have a big dome in downtown St. Louis that holds 65,000-66,000 people. That's a great spot for Mizzou, Illinois, a great spot for big college game. Who knows what you could attract? A conference championship game? You could go, and we're not going to get a Super Bowl. I don't think the NFL wants to deal with
us. You don't think so? Come on.
No, I don't think so.
They could recoup some of their money.
You want to attract. Look, these UFL games, Battlehawks games are on big networks. They've got a big TV contract, so you want it to look good, but you want to attract events to the Dome, and so it's a nice little story.
The numbers are so big that they're mind-boggling to most of us, but then Kim reported that it's estimated they need $150 million in upgrades at that stadium. To what? Like, is that a top 10 tier stadium at that point? I mean, we probably don't even need that. I know that, but we probably don't even need that. I mean, just
a
little bit of paint.
That was.
A little bit of paint, a little bit of new AstroTurf.
Maybe you'd be willing to do the paint for them. They could save money.
I could I could save you some money. You're good at that these days, rehabbing houses,
yeah, lots
right?
of paint. Let me go paint the dome
you
for you guys.
Houses?
I'm flipping, my husband and I are flipping a home.
Are you? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I show up with paint every day because I clawed off in the shower, and I still always find some.
I'm pretty good at it. I'm good at the taping,
There you go.
All the prep.
That's important.
Yeah. I'm good at the taping, then you can be a little sloppy with it if you're a good taper.
If we start this week, the three of us will be done in about 10 or 15 years.
I don't even
years.
Charge anything. All
What's
I charge,
our hourly rate?
I charge a beer. I charge beer.
Wow, that's it, huh,
Tom? A beer an hour.
When I redo my basement, I'm going to call Ackerman over to let him tape the drywall.
Yeah, I'm just going to need you to tape for us.
Just a fresh beer waiting for me each hour, and I'm good to go. No,
your paint's going to get sloppier if you're working a 10-hour day and you're 10 beers in. The paint's not going to look so great.
Depends on how much you eat. So
that's
I guess,
right.
You got to balance it out. So I guess I got to add, I need food too. So food and beer, and I could get a weekend project done.
Hey, Kim's going to the Mizzou game this week.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I know we're heavily favored to win, and we obviously obliterated Murray State.
Yeah, still though, you come to watch Mizzou. That's really it. You know, you come for the atmosphere and watch Mizzou, and I think that'll be great. Weather's going to be amazing for that game.
And
oh,
we're
my
top
gosh.
Nine, right? I mean, I know we were 11 going into the season, and now we're 9.
Ninth ranked team in the country. Really good football team. They'll handle Buffalo. And then week 3, watch out. Boston College just beat Florida State. I think that, you know, now Boston College is on Missouri's radar after they beat Buffalo. Mm-hmm. They'll focus on beating Boston College, so they won't sneak up on you now. But their coach is good, Bill O'Brien. He's been in the NFL. He understands how to win, and he can really put together a nice offense and defense, good balance on that Boston College team. But once you get through that, be careful. You know, Vanderbilt's still an SEC team. Just get through it. And then the schedule starts to toughen up after all of that. You know, you go through all of those home games, but they're going to have to go to Texas A&M. They have to go to Alabama. They will play Auburn at home. They will play Oklahoma at home. Arkansas is not very good, but they, at the end of the year, are going to want to jump up and you know, bite Mizzou right at the end of the season. And as the season goes along for Missouri, the pressure will mount. Because the expectation now is, if you're the ninth-ranked team in the country, that you're going to be in the top 12 in that college football playoff. That's right. What everybody's hoping for. But it's a really good Missouri team. It's just hard to judge. You know, Murray State's just, you know, not enough competition to judge how good they are. They beat them 51-0. I think there was a bit of a stall there offensively and some mistakes that were made on the Missouri side that they need to clean up. But great quarterback, great receiver core, man. And, you know, they've got a couple of capable running backs who can do damage. Defense looks good. Good football team.
Good. Swifties are excited. Kansas City plays tonight.
Yeah, so her,
will she be there?
She should be there. Her tour is taking a break. So she starts in October with her North American leg of the tour. So,
I love that you know this.
Of course I know this. That's my job to know.
Yes, yeah, he's got daughters.
But now as a football, like as a sports analyst, you have to know Taylor Swift's schedule
absolutely.
Too. Because fans,
she's bigger than the
Chiefs
NFL.
Fans want to know.
She is bigger than the NFL.
That's why
question.
The NFL has gotten bigger is because of her.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I would anticipate she's there. What a fun thing. How many people in your listening audience are going over there today? I'd say a few. To go see the Chiefs take on the Ravens. By the way, Chiefs only a 3-point favorite at home in their opener, and that's because the Ravens are awesome. I think people maybe forgot the Ravens had the most wins in the NFL last year. They won 13. They hosted the AFC Championship game. Chiefs went in there and beat them. They're not going to like that very much. So
no.
Lamar Jackson and the Ravens will be ready to go. This is going to be a fun game tonight, I think. Really, really good game. It's hard to pick a winner in the AFC, because as good as the Chiefs are, the Ravens will be right there. I think the Bengals are going to be good this year, too. Joe Burrow's back. Loaded team. Should be a fun year in the NFL. I don't have a team. I just love to kick back and watch the games, play a little fantasy football, and have some fun with it.
Yeah, I'd have to root for the Chiefs if I was going to root for an NFL team these days, probably. So anytime you get a win over the Brewers, that you win a series against them, that's good.
I mean,
even if your season is pretty much over.
If the Cardinals are supposed to throw in the towel, no one told them.
Yeah,
I mean, they're
playing
with their hair on fire right now.
I wish this happened sooner, but we're still grateful it's happening,
pretty,
I guess.
Pretty fun to watch, actually. So, you know, they're 5.5 out in the wild card with 22 games to go. I mean, they'd have to basically rip off, you know, out of those 22, 19 or 20 wins probably to get in with some help that maybe you reduce that number. Any loss is damaging from this point forward. But that was a great win for them. They won another series. They went into the Bronx, went into Milwaukee, came out victorious. Now the Mariners come in this weekend. It's Cardinals Hall of Fame weekend. You'll have bigger crowds this weekend too. Nice weather weekend, Hall of Fame weekend. I've already seen those ticket numbers are up. So it should be, you know, it's not going to be an empty stadium.
It's not $0 on StubHub, which was just sad.
You might find some deals. I'd just take advantage. Go take the kids out for one more weekend series and wrap up the season, and then hope they can rebuild from top to bottom for 25. I don't think it takes a lot, but I do think it takes some rethinking as to what they are doing as a franchise.
And changes. Somewhere.
Yeah, some changes here and there.
And we have hockey coming up, which I know Carl's excited
about.
And
by the way, the manager is not one of those. I mean, we've talked, you know,
no,
I think,
you don't
Ollie,
think so?
I think Ollie's done fine. I don't think this is Ollie's problem. I think this is an organizational problem.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
Good. You got to run?
I do.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Thank
you, Tommy.
I still love you guys.
We appreciate it.
Even though I have to bolt.
I'll have a cold beer for you when you're taping for me later.
Yeah, I know who to call if I need any more taping
that's
done.
Right.
I don't like taping. It's just so tedious. I'd rather just edge with a paintbrush and just hold. I mean, let me just say this.
What?
It's not that I don't tape, but it is time consuming. And I feel like I actually am pretty decent at edging. We've painted this house top to bottom. Almost every square inch of this house
Mark,
has been painted.
Mark, you want to inspect the paint
no,
job?
No, but I'm not. Done. I'm not. And I was not the kid that ever colored in the lines when I was young. So when it came time to do edging at our new place, we repainted the kitchen. We drafted my son-in-law, who's very talented when it comes to painting and art.
I thought you were going to say coloring in the lines.
He is coloring in the lines, and he came over and did it by hand and didn't get a drop of paint on any of the cabinets. I have no idea how he did that.
Hey, Jody said that if you go to the dome, you should put Rhino Shield on it.
Oh, yeah, that'd work. Absolutely. You wouldn't have to paint it again for 25 years. Yeah, save him some money.
There we go. We are just full of ideas.
Are
you listening, officials there in St. Louis?
Thank you. No, they're too busy paying their last tourism director $500,000. Don't worry about that. All right, we're going to get to In Other News. Coming up with Ethan next hour, got Jim Talent, Shannon Bream, Griff Jenkins. Lots to go here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Back here in just a minute.
What's happening?
So you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In Other News.
Queen guitarist Brian May is recovering after experiencing a minor stroke that temporarily affected his ability to move his left arm. In an update shared on Instagram and YouTube, May revealed that he made progress in his recovery. The good news is I can play guitar again, he said, addressing concerns about his ability to perform following the health scare. May explained that the stroke occurred actually last week, but chose not to share the news earlier, saying he didn't want sympathy for his fans.
So he announced it on Freddie Mercury's birthday.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. all right. I guess we don't like Brian May. Sarah Adams, a SLU assistant professor, has earned a silver medal at the 2024 Paralympic Games in Paris, making history as the first woman named to the U.S. wheelchair rugby team. The team secured the silver in a 48-41 loss to Japan in the gold medal game, continuing their medal streak. She's not the only one, though. Eric Newberry from Nashville, Illinois, he's a co-captain.
I watched
a great sportsman like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, Tom Ackerman in studio with us. I have to tell you, one of the news stories that caught my attention this morning was what Kim reported on the dome. And yep. I've griped repeatedly about that AstroTurf over there and how awful it looked. And it was faded, and you finally get, you know, Mizzou comes in here and plays, and the Battle Hawks are playing again, and we're on national television, and that AstroTurf looked terrible, and finally they got around to replacing it. I imagine it's not cheap to do, but boy, that was long overdue.
I think it's like $1 million.
I'm sure.
Yeah, to put it in. Yeah, the first time that it got the exposure was actually the Mizzou-Memphis game. Remember that game in the dome last year? And that everybody was like, man, this looks terrible. It looks awful on TV. Just awful. I was at the game, and it didn't look as bad in person as it did on TV. TV looked really bad, but you know, you want to be... You want to attract big events to the dome. The dome, that's just the beginning. The dome needs a lot of improvements. Mm-hmm. But you want to attract big events. We have a big dome in downtown St. Louis that holds 65,000-66,000 people. That's a great spot for Mizzou, Illinois. A great spot for big college game. Who knows what you could attract? A conference championship game? You could go, and we're not going to get a Super Bowl. I don't think the NFL wants to deal with
us. You don't think so? Come on.
No, I don't think so.
they could recoup some of their money.
You want to attract. Look, these UFL games, the Battlehawks games are on big networks. They've got a big TV contract, so you want it to look good, but you want to attract events to the dome, and so it's a nice little story.
The numbers are so big that they're mind-boggling to most of us, but then Kim reported that it's estimated they need $150 million in upgrades at that stadium. To what? Like, is that a top 10 tier stadium at that point? I mean, we probably don't even need that. I know that, but we probably don't even need that. I mean, just a little bit of paint.
That was.
little bit of paint, you know, a little
maybe
bit of new
AstroTurf.
Maybe
you'd be willing to do the paint for them. They could save money.
I could make you, yeah, I could save you some money. You're good at that these days, rehabbing houses,
yeah, lots
right?
of paint. Let me yeah, go paint the dome
you
for you guys.
Houses?
I'm flipping, my husband and I are flipping a home.
Are you? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I show up with paint every day because I clawed off in the shower, and I still always find some.
I'm pretty good at it. I'm good at the taping. You know,
there you go.
All the prep.
That's important.
Yeah. I'm good at the taping. Then you can be a little sloppy with it if you're a good taper.
If we start this week, the three of us will be done in about 10 or 15 years.
I don't
years.
Even charge anything. All
What's
I charge,
our hourly rate?
I charge a beer. I charge beer.
Wow, that's it, huh,
a
Tom?
Beer, a beer an hour.
When I redo my basement, I'm going to call Ackerman over to let him tape the drywall.
I'm just going to need you to tape for us.
Just a fresh beer waiting for me each hour, and I'm good to go. No,
your paint's going to get sloppier if you're working a 10-hour day and you're 10 beers in. The paint's not going to look so great.
Depends on how much you eat. So
that's
I guess
right.
You know, you got to balance it out. So I guess I got to add, I need food too. So food and beer, and you know, I could get a weekend project done.
Hey, Kim's going to the Mizzou game this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
playing
I know
Buffalo.
We're heavily favored to win, and we obviously obliterated Murray State.
Yeah, still though, you know, you come to watch Mizzou. That's
yeah.
really it. You know, you come for the atmosphere and watch Mizzou, and I think that'll be great. Weather's going to be amazing for that game.
And
oh,
we're top
gosh.
Nine, right? I mean, I know we
Ninth
were 11
in
going
yeah.
into the season, and now we're 9.
Ninth-ranked team in the country, really good football team. They'll handle Buffalo. And then week 3, watch out. Boston College just beat Florida State. I think that, you know, now Boston College is on Missouri's radar after they beat Buffalo. Mm-hmm. They'll focus on beating Boston College, so they won't sneak up on you now. But their coach is good, Bill O'Brien. He's been in the NFL. He understands how to win, and he can really put together a nice offense and defense, good balance on that Boston College team. But once you get through that, be careful. You know, Vanderbilt, still an SEC team. Just get through it. And then the schedule starts to toughen up after all of that. You know, you go through all of those home games, but they're going to have to go to Texas A&M. They have to go to Alabama. They will play Auburn at home. They will play Oklahoma at home. Arkansas is not very good, but they, at the end of the year, are going to want to jump up and you know, bite Mizzou right at the end of the season. And as the season goes along for Missouri, the pressure will mount. Because the expectation now is, if you're the 9th-ranked team in the country, that you're going to be in the top 12 in that college football playoff. That's
right.
What everybody's hoping for. But it's a really good Missouri team. It's just hard to judge. You know, Murray State's just, you know, not enough competition to judge how good they are. They beat them 51-0. I think there was a bit of a stall there offensively and some mistakes that were made on the Missouri side that they need to clean up. But great quarterback, great receiver core, man. And, you know, they've got a couple of capable running backs who can do damage. Defense looks good. Good football team.
Good. Swifties are excited. Kansas City plays tonight.
Yeah,
right?
So her,
will she be there?
She should be there. Her tour is taking a break. So she starts in October with her North American leg of the tour. So,
I love that you know this.
Of course I know this. That's my job to know.
Yes, yeah, he's got daughters.
But,
yeah.
But now as a football, like as a sports analyst, you have to know Taylor Swift's schedule
absolutely.
Too. Because fans,
she's bigger than the
Chiefs
NFL.
Fans want to know.
She is bigger than the NFL.
That's why
question.
The NFL has gotten bigger is because
yeah.
of her.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I would anticipate she's there. What a fun thing. How many people in your listening audience are going over there today? I'd say a few. To go see the Chiefs take on the Ravens. By the way, Chiefs only a 3-point favorite at home in their opener, and that's because the Ravens are awesome. I think people maybe forgot the Ravens had the most wins in the NFL last year. They won 13. They hosted the AFC Championship game. Chiefs went in there and beat them. They're not going to like that very much. So
no.
Lamar Jackson and the Ravens will be ready to go. This is going to be a fun game tonight, I think. Really, really good game. It's hard to pick a winner in the AFC, because as good as the Chiefs are, the Ravens will be right there. I think the Bengals are going to be good this year, too. Joe Burrow's back. Loaded team. Should be a fun year in the NFL. I don't have a team. I just love to kick back and watch the games, play a little fantasy football, and have some fun with it.
Yeah, I'd have to root for the Chiefs if I was going to root for an NFL team these days, probably. So anytime you get a win over the Brewers, that you win a series against
yeah.
them, that's good.
I mean,
even if your season is pretty much over.
If the Cardinals were supposed to throw in the towel, no one told them.
Yeah,
I mean, they're playing
true.
With their hair
yeah.
on fire right
I wish
now.
This happened sooner, but we're still grateful it's happening,
pretty,
I guess.
Pretty fun to watch, actually. So, you know, they're 5.5 out in the wild card with 22 games to go. I mean, they'd have to basically rip off, you know, out of those 22 19 or 20 wins probably to get in with some help that maybe you reduce that number. Any loss is damaging from this point forward. But that was a great win for them. They won another series. They went into the Bronx, went into Milwaukee, came out victorious. Now the Mariners come in this weekend. It's Cardinals Hall of Fame weekend. You'll have bigger crowds this weekend too. Nice weather weekend, Hall of Fame weekend. I've already seen those ticket numbers are up. So it should be, you know, it's not going to be an empty stadium.
It's not $0 on StubHub, which was just sad.
You might find some deals. I'd just take advantage. Go take the kids out for one more weekend series and wrap up the season and then hope they can rebuild from top to bottom for 25. I don't think it takes a lot, but I do think it takes some rethinking as to what they are doing as a franchise.
And changes. Somewhere.
Yeah, some changes here and there.
And we have hockey coming up, which I know Carl's excited about.
And by the way, the manager is not one of those. I mean, we talked, you know, no, I think,
you don't
Ollie,
think so?
I think Ollie's done fine. I don't think this is Ollie's problem. I think this is an organizational problem.
Okay. So interesting.
Yeah.
Good. You got to run?
I do.
Okay. Sorry about that. Thank you, Tommy.
I still love you guys.
We appreciate it.
Even though I have to bolt.
I'll have a cold beer for you when you're taping for me later.
I know who to call if I need any more taping
that's
done.
That's right.
I don't like taping. It's just so tedious. I'd rather just edge with a paintbrush and just hold. I mean, let me just say this.
What?
It's not that I don't tape, but it is time consuming. And I feel like I actually am pretty decent at edging. We've painted this house top to bottom, almost every square inch of this house.
Mark,
has been
do you want to inspect the paint?
No,
job
but I'm not. Doing? I'm not. And I like when I was I was not the kid that ever colored in the lines when I was young. So when it came time to do edging at our new place, we repainted the kitchen. We drafted my son-in-law, who's very talented when it comes to painting and art.
I thought you were going to say coloring in the lines.
He is coloring in the lines, and he came over and did it by hand and didn't get a drop of paint on any of the cabinets. I have no idea how he did that.
Hey, Jody said that if you go to the Dome, you should put Rhino Shield on it.
Oh, yeah, that'd work. Absolutely. You wouldn't have to paint it again for 25 years. Yeah, save him some money.
There we go. We are just full of ideas.
Are
you listening, officials there in St. Louis?
Thank you. No, they're too busy paying their last tourism director $500,000. Don't worry about that. All right, we're going to get to In Other News. Coming up with Ethan next hour, got Jim Talent, Shannon Bream, Griff Jenkins. Lots to go here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Back here in just a minute.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In Other News.
Queen guitarist Brian May is recovering after experiencing a minor stroke that temporarily affected his ability to move his left arm. In an update shared on Instagram and YouTube, May revealed that he made progress in his recovery. The good news is I can play guitar again, he said, addressing concerns about his ability to perform following the health scare. May explained that the stroke occurred actually last week, but chose not to share the news earlier, saying he didn't want sympathy for his fans.
So he announced it on Freddie Mercury's birthday.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. I guess we don't like Brian May. Sarah Adams, a SLU assistant professor, has earned a silver medal at the 2024 Paralympic Games in Paris, making history as the first woman named to the U.S. wheelchair rugby team. The team secured the silver in a 48-41 loss to Japan in the gold medal game, continuing their medal streak. She's not the only one, though. Eric Newberry from Nashville, Illinois. He's a co-captain.
I watched, for some reason, I stumbled across some of that the other day, and I've never seen anything quite like it. They're incredible athletes, and she was zipping around these guys like they were sitting still.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
It was amazing to watch.
Didn't they make a movie about that? Like
Murderball.
Yeah.
I need to watch some of this because I've not kept, we've been so busy, I haven't watched any of the Olympics.
Well, I mean, they're all in wheelchairs, but the wheelchairs are like the wheels are angled in and they're real compact and they can just fly in these things, and they ram into each other. It's rugby. They ram into each other and
try to knock each other over.
They got a rugby ball and they're trying to get it into the goal. And I mean, it was
see the movie Murderball.
Yeah,
it's a documentary about that.
What's it on?
I'll look that up.
Mark, you guys have been talking about DirecTV all morning. Well, they are offering credits of at least $20 to customers who have DirecTV, DirecTV Stream, and UVerse services because of the ongoing Disney ESPN
debacle. Well, that's big of them.
If you guys are looking to get it, go to directtv.com/TV Promise. The promise is you won't have ESPN.
Well, that's the thing. They're not just going to give it to people. You have to make sure you're reaching out to them.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's
or our friends over at Spectrum would say, just call Spectrum. You know, I mean, honestly, this is not that it's the first time it's happened, but it's going to be a problem next Tuesday for people that have DirecTV and can't get ABC to watch the debate.
Or Monday when they want to watch Monday Night Football.
Well, there's that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Murderballs from 2005. It's on Prime, Peacock, Fubo, and Tubi.
Nice. I'll have to watch that. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Rare collectibles from the world of music and film, including Elvis Presley's gold rings and a letter from Beach Boy Brian Wilson, will be auctioned this weekend. The Artifacts of Hollywood and Music Auction by Krause GWS Auctions features nearly 400 items, including memorabilia from Prince, Aaliyah, and Abigail Folger. She was the victim from the Manson murders.
Oh.
Top items include Presley's microphone from his Las Vegas residency, a pill bottle dated March 1977.
What?
Empty.
And two gold rings expected to fetch between $35,000 and $60,000.
Someone can buy Elvis Presley's pill bottle? Empty pill
there
bottle?
We know it was the pill bottle. There were probably a lot of them.
That, yeah,
well,
yeah.
I'm guessing it's got his name on it.
I would question the authenticity of these. I'm that skeptic who's like, how do I really know that they didn't just go buy this from like the Dollar Tree? And like, this Elvis Presley, this was his.
I think some of this would be easy to verify.
Yes.
Mark buys things on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, he bought a dinosaur tooth
and says it was
real.
Authentic.
It has a letter
of
authenticity.
That's the same skepticism that I have about anything these days.
All right.
You're never going to live the dinosaur tooth down, stuff. Mark.
It's true.
Ever.
It's real. Uh-huh. It is real.
Even Sue.
Mark, I believe you.
It's from Morocco. It's real. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Federal investigators have charged a North Carolina man, his name is Michael Smith, for allegedly using bot accounts and AI-generated music to fraudulently earn over $10 million in royalties from major streaming platforms. The case marks the first criminal case involving artificially boosted music streams. According to the indictment, Smith ran his scheme for 7 years, manipulating billions of streams from bot accounts. And at one point, he estimated he could generate over 661,000 streams per day, earning more than $1.2 million in royalties annually.
Wow.
So also, his name is Michael Smith, who is one letter away from a major contemporary Christian artist. So you would, actual people would click on Michael Smith thinking it's
Michael W.
But also, he was using AI to fake stream.
I'm surprised no one else has done this.
I'm sure they have, and they just haven't been caught yet, right?
Yeah.
I mean, now with all this AI stuff, this is going to be more common, I would think.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, the guy got $10 million, so.
Yeah, it's true.
It looks like Wallet Hub has released the 2024 Best Places to Retire. The list, which graded 182 cities across the United States, named Orlando as the number one place to live during your golden years. Three other Florida cities, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa, and Miami also made the top 10. The ranking methodology by the personal finance company compared cities retiree friendly. They also took the following factors into account: cost of living, tax laws, quality of life, activities available, healthcare quality. And your St. Louis came in at number 22.
And Florida was that high with all the insurance problems and everything they're having.
Florida
right
had
now.
Four of the taxes. Top five places.
That's going to
yeah,
start.
Taxes.
Right, yep. Sue.
Yeah, that's true. I think that gets impacted at some point as insurance rates go up. Sure. All right, coming up, we'll talk to former Senator Jim Talent, get his thoughts on the town hall last night with President Trump and the upcoming debate. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Happening.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
Queen guitarist Brian May is recovering after experiencing a minor stroke that temporarily affected his ability to move his left arm. In an update shared on Instagram and YouTube, May revealed that he made progress in his recovery. The good news is I can play guitar again, he said, addressing concerns about his ability to perform following the health scare. May explained that the stroke occurred actually last week, but chose not to share the news earlier, saying he didn't want sympathy for his fans.
So he announced it on Freddie Mercury's birthday.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I guess we We don't like Brian May. Sarah Adams, a SLU assistant professor, has earned a silver medal at the 2024 Paralympic Games in Paris, making history as the first woman named to the U.S. wheelchair rugby team. The team secured the silver in a 48-41 loss to Japan in the gold medal game, continuing their medal streak. She's not the only one, though. Eric Newberry from Nashville, Illinois, he's a co-captain.
I watched, for some reason, I stumbled across some of that the other day, and I've never seen anything quite like it. They're incredible athletes, and she was zipping around these guys like they were sitting still.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
It was amazing to watch.
Didn't they make a movie about that? Like when
Murderball.
Yeah.
I need to watch some of this because I've not kept, we've been so busy, I haven't watched any of the Olympics.
Well, I mean, it's they're all in wheelchairs, but the wheelchairs are like the wheels are angled in and they're real compact and they can just fly in these things and they ram into each other. It's rugby. They ram into each other and
try to knock each other over.
They got a rugby ball and they're trying to get it into the goal. And I mean, it was
see the movie Murderball.
Yeah,
it's a documentary about that.
What's it on?
I'll look that up.
Mark, you guys have been talking about DirecTV all morning. Well, they are offering credits of at least $20 to customers who have DirecTV, DirecTV Stream, and UVerse services because of the ongoing Disney ESPN
debacle. Well, that's big of a
debacle. If you guys are looking to get it, go to directtv.com/TV Promise. The promise is you won't have ESPN.
Well, that's the thing. They're not just going to give it to people. You have to make sure you're reaching out to them.
Right. It's
or our friends over at Spectrum would say, just call Spectrum. You know, I mean, honestly, this is
at this point.
This is not that it's the first time it's happened, but it's going to be a problem next Tuesday for people that have DirecTV and can't get ABC to watch the debate.
Or Monday when they want to watch Monday Night Football.
Well, there's that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Murderball is from 2005. It's on Prime, Peacock, Fubo, and Tubi.
Nice. I'll have to watch that. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Rare collectibles from the world of music and film, including Elvis Presley's gold rings and a letter from Beach Boy Brian Wilson, will be auctioned this weekend. The Artifacts of Hollywood and Music Auction by Krauss GWS Auctions features nearly 400 items, including memorabilia from Prince, Aaliyah, and Abigail Folger. She was the victim from the Manson murders.
Oh.
Top items include Presley's microphone from his Las Vegas residency, a pill bottle dated March 1977.
What?
Empty.
And two gold rings expected to fetch between $35,000 and $60,000.
Someone can buy Elvis Presley's pill bottle? Empty pill
there
bottle?
We know it was the pill bottle. There were probably a lot of them.
I'm guessing it's got his name on it.
I would question the authenticity of these. I'm that skeptic who's like, how do I really know that they didn't just go buy this from like the Dollar Tree? And they're like, this Elvis Presley, this was his.
I think some of this would be easy to verify.
Yes.
Mark buys things on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, he bought a dinosaur tooth
and says it was authentic.
It has a letter of authenticity.
That's the same skepticism that I have about anything these days.
All right.
You're never going to live the dinosaur tooth down, stuff. Mark.
It's true.
Ever.
It's real.
Uh-huh.
It is real.
Even Sue.
Mark, I believe you.
It's from Morocco. It's real. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Federal investigators have charged a North Carolina man, his name is Michael Smith, for allegedly using bot accounts and AI-generated music to fraudulently earn over $10 million in royalties from major streaming platforms. The case marks the first criminal case involving artificially boosted music streams. According to the indictment, Smith ran his scheme for 7 years, manipulating billions of streams from bot accounts. And at one point, he estimated he could generate over 661,000 streams per day, earning more than $1.2 million in royalties annually.
Wow.
So, also, his name is Michael Smith, who is one letter away from a major contemporary Christian artist. So, actual people would click on Michael Smith thinking it's
thinking
Michael W.
It was
Smith.
Michael W.
But also, he was using AI to fake stream.
I'm surprised no one else has done this.
I'm sure they have, and they just haven't been caught yet, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this now with all this AI stuff, this is going to be more common, I would think.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the guy got $10 million, so
yeah, it's true.
It looks like Wallet Hub has released the 2024 Best Places to Retire. The list, which graded 182 cities across the United States, named Orlando as the number one place to live during your golden years. Three other Florida cities, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa, and Miami also made the top 10. The ranking methodology by the personal finance company compared cities retiree friendly. They also took the following factors into account: cost of living, tax laws, quality of life, activities available, healthcare quality. And your St. Louis came in at number 22.
And Florida was that high with all the insurance problems and everything they're having.
Florida
right
had
now.
Four of the taxes. Top five places.
That's going to start.
Yeah, taxes.
Right, yep. Sue.
Yeah, that's true. I think that gets impacted at some point as insurance rates go up. Sure. All right, coming up, we'll talk to former Senator Jim Talent, get his thoughts on the town hall last night with President Trump and the upcoming debate. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.